Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you're with us. Zariner.
Hey.
Everybody in Ohio jumping up and down?
We got some stuff stirred up over here, so I'll let you know by Saturday.
By Saturday?
Yeah.
No, I'm beginning.
What's that?
They're going to be calmed down by Saturday.
You're talking about the championship from last night.
I suppose you know that Cleveland won the NBA championship last night, right?
I had to look it up because I don't follow basketball like
that.
They were down
by four with about 2 minutes left, and they won by four.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's 2 minutes left, but anyway, it wasn't much.
Minute 47.
All right. If LeBron James would play the way he can play the whole game, every game, he would.
He'd have more rings.
He's intense, but I'm just saying to you that it's funny. Like whenever the chips are down, he decides he's going to take ownership. He's like insane how good he is.
Hmm. All right.
Anyway, glad you enjoyed the ball game last night.
I'm not a big basketball fan, sorry.
Huh.
Nope. Never played it.
You might have been pretty decent at basketball, I'm just saying.
See, I was the nerd in high school, not the basketball player, so I just never got into it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I should just put some white tape right here on my glasses, then you'd understand.
Oh. All right. Moore, you with us?
Yes, I am. Affirmative.
All right. Got Matt with us on the boards here.
There we go.
Let's go with it, Matthew.
All right, well, first up, we're going to get Fred here. Let's see if Fred's available. Fred, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, guys.
What's up, Fred?
Well, you've said a number of times that when a note pays off early or a note with a partial pays off early, our yield goes up. And you know, looking at the amortization curves, I understand how we as the seller of the partial make out because we get the difference between our amortization curve and our client's amortization curve. But is there any advantage to my partial buyer client for a note paying off early?
Depends on how the agreement's written.
If we use the standard RPSA sell agreement, they just get their money back in the event of an early payoff, right?
Right. Let's just say, pull up the graph there, Matt. Why don't you go back to your input screen, because that 17.27% yield probably too much. You have to drop your pay price. Excuse me, increase it. Sorry. Increase it.
More.
It's
too big of a term.
Now just go back up to your price. Go back to 85. 85.
Okay.
Good God, is that right?
His term's too high, that's why.
No, it's all right.
Like a $300 payment.
Go to 90,000, Matt. Go to 88,000.
This is funny.
No, not the balance of the loan. Leave the balance at 100. There you go. Go back to the selling price of 88,000. Go to 90. These numbers don't really look like something's wrong.
He's got a 300-month partial, that's why.
All right, go to 180 months.
I wonder when you're going to figure it out. There we go.
Go to 85. Go to 80.
It's going to be 78,347.
Go to 82,000. Damn, I'm good. It only took me like 12 tries.
We'll call that the Curry effect, because that's how good he was on three-pointers last night.
Sounds like a dick.
No. It's I never miss this. It just takes me a lot of tries.
Gotcha.
All right. Put your graph up there, Matthew. Now enlarge it to where old people can see it, like me. There we go. All right, so Fred, what you see here is we took $82,000 and amortized it at 10% interest, payable over 180 months.
Right.
So depending on what partial agreement you use and what amortization you use, let me tell you this. If you sell me a partial, I'm going to build a prepayment penalty in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a different way to develop the amortization schedule. I'm going to take the interest rate on the note and the monthly payment and the term I buy and create a phantom principal payoff in the case of an early payoff. Okay.
So you're basically going to write a payoff curve that's somewhat higher than the standard amortization curve.
I'm going to treat it where if I bought a fully amortized 180-month loan, if it paid off early, I'd still earn some discount.
Okay.
Okay? In this scenario, though, the investor, first of all, let me ask you something. Would an investor, a passive investor, ever think to ask, hey, do I earn some juice if it pays off early?
No.
That's usually not the question.
I never heard it.
No, it's not. They always ask, what if they stop paying?
It's a problem if they pay off early. Right.
So if it pays off early, it is the exact same math if they made a private loan at 10% interest for $82,000 paying out over 180 months.
Right.
So they're not enhancing their yield unless you use a different partial agreement.
Okay.
That's why you see two different partial agreements in there.
Right.
One of them is when you buy a partial, and the other one is when you sell a partial. If you were buying a fix and flip house, would you use the same earnest money contract when you bought it versus when you sold it?
No.
All right, same thing.
Yeah. So somewhere in the buy agreement partial, there's the language that gives you a little bit of juice on an early payoff.
Yeah, it's really based on the amortization of the early payoff.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Martha is making some final revisions with Jeff Watson on the partial agreement. There are some things
yes.
that decide he wants to change, and so I know that you were supposed to film the webinar with her today, Zarina, to put on the site.
Yeah.
And they delayed a little bit for good reason, because Jeff wants to add a couple things.
Yes.
And anyway, Zarina, if I'm just a regular mentor student, not Martha, super person, could I, like, just try to fill out the agreement myself?
You'd end up calling me, probably, because that's what I've
no,
got.
No, you ain't calling us. We ain't playing lawyer. Ain't gonna happen.
You could fill out the agreement as long as you read it. That's the whole thing.
I don't believe you can.
No?
I don't believe you can.
I think you could if you read it, but...
Well...
I haven't seen it done that way. I've seen most people struggle with it. To answer your question,
that's why we're doing this deal with Guardian Law, that they're going to do it. So it's still a work in progress. We had a conference call with him today. Right now, Greg wants the inquiries for the partial agreement, people that have an agreement, not people that are just curious about it, to go deal directly with him.
Okay.
And he's going to do that for 2-3 weeks until we kind of work out the bugs. Now, that's not to inquire, that I'm just curious about doing a partial agreement. You need to get your credit card out, and he's going to charge you $1,000 an hour for training. Okay? Just swipe your card. Because I had a law firm in the training business, right? You call a lawyer, that training involves an invoice.
Got some dollar signs on that, yeah.
So, but I am going to highly discourage most of you from drawing your own partial agreements. Because until you're just really more seasoned down the road, it's just probably smarter to let somebody else do it. Okay. If you're Susan, if you're Martha, probably me, because I've been doing it now for a long time, then all these nuances in there are good. Now, I know you're going to do a training with Martha, and you're going to show people how to fill it out.
Yep.
You're going to film it. She's going to say, put this in this blank. Here's where I found that, blah, blah, blah. And there's always going to be some do-it-yourselfers, right? Ain't no do-it-yourselfers in note school, are they, huh? All right, Matt, what you got there, bud?
Tim, go ahead.
I don't think Tim's unmuted, is he?
Don, Tim, I have you both unmuted. Can one of you speak, or are your mics down your end? All right. While I'm waiting on that, I can just go ahead and read it. So they're wanting to know, they have an asset that they purchased, and they are going to selling a partial to a close personal friend. However, the asset has not been transferred completely into their name because of some filings of the deeds, and they're wanting to know if they can go ahead with the partial agreement or selling the partial now, or if they have to wait until it's completely transferred over.
Absolutely not. I mean, some of these counties take 3 or 4 months to file the document and send it back to you. You don't wait on that to go resell it. Matt, you ever have somebody that asks for a deed where Colonial bought the asset and you say it's in the process of being recorded, it's been sent to the county, and it might be a while before they send it back?
I have on many occasions.
Huh? Like thousands?
Mm-hmm.
The identical question.
Okay. Go for it.
So, yeah, it's very critical to understand that it's a work in progress, you know, and you know, you don't hold up reselling the asset as long as the stuff has been sold for recordation. So,
I guess the most important aspect in that, Eddie, would be as soon as it's transferred over, and you're getting those payments, you know, waiting 3-4 months on recording is unnecessary. As long as the payments are coming in, you could sell a partial at that point.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that one of the key reasons to transfer the servicing.
Yeah. So when servicing is probably higher up on the get it completed than recording when you're trying to do a partial.
Correct. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, if you sell a partial and you do transfer the servicing, everybody knows that I'm really big on not, I want to control the servicing with whoever I sell a partial to.
Right.
Because I want to make sure that they agree that it's only upon our mutual consent that you can transfer servicing to another servicer. Two or three things two or three things can happen. You can transfer it to somebody that thinks they know how to service partials, and you're going to get some experience, right? You know what? You remember what experience is?
You get something you didn't expect or something like that. You got some sort of saying for that.
Experience is what you get when you're expecting something else.
There it is.
And so you don't want to get any experience. And secondly, the last thing on earth you'd want them to do is decide they're going to save money and they're just going to serve the services themselves. So you want to make sure it's with the right servicer, and that right servicer can never be them. You know what I'm saying? And this is when you deal with passive investors, right? If you sell a loan to us, you're not going to tell us who the servicer is. If you sell a loan, a partial to one of these institutional investors, you're not going to tell them who's going to service it, right? So it's a little bit of kind of like were you an older sibling, Zarina, or a younger sibling?
I'm second, so I'm an older sibling.
Okay, but you're not the oldest.
No, I'm not the oldest, no.
You remember when you was a little kid and y'all loaded up and went somewhere and the older sibling thought they shotgun seat was theirs?
Yeah, it pretty much was, because he was bigger.
Well, that's how it works in the note buying world. The guy who is the more dominant is the guy that makes the rules.
Gotcha.
And when I'm dealing with a passive investor, I don't care if he's got a bigger checkbook than me, he ain't going to tell me how to play the game. Yet when I'm buying, I'm going to say, this is how we play the game. Right? And that's just, you know, and it's not like, it's no ego in that or whatever. It's just, I don't want them to make an investment and mess both of us up.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, that's really good, because a lot of students are having trouble kind of taking that authoritative position. You know, they kind of let their investors kind of dictate, this is what I'm doing, just because they, again, have the bigger checkbook. So this is really good about making sure that you maintain control and not let some investor come tell you what they're going to do with whatever.
What is it? What do you think that investor knows the rules?
No. That's the whole point. They don't.
The market is what you tell the investor the market is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They don't know what the rules are. Well, you know, I hear people say, well, I want a 12% yield. Really? Where'd you make that number up at?
Exactly. Good point.
You know,
yep.
We deal with private investors, and they say, yeah, Martha, I'd like to deal with you, but I really, I need about a 12% yield. You're not going to get it.
No. No.
I mean, you say it appropriately. I'm animating with you a little bit, having a little fun.
Right.
Yeah. But that's kind of how it works. You have to get in a position where you tell investors, here's what I offer, not them tell you, here's what I'm willing to offer.
Exactly.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matthew, what's up?
I need to get a sound bite ready for whenever we get some of these comments on the board so I can gong them.
Yeah, just so Keith Pionk said he wanted 14 yield. I told him he gets the gong.
Gets the gong. Yeah, no,
he gets the gong.
He knows. He's having fun with you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Next up, John, you have yourself muted. If you can unmute yourself, you are good to go on our end. There you go.
John, you with us, sir?
Probably need to turn your mic up. I kind of heard something there faint in the background. So you can turn your mic up. That's probably what's going on. All right, while he's trying to figure that out, once again, I'll go ahead and read through the question. So he's wanting to know the recommendation on how to best purchase an asset from us at Colonial using an option or wholesaling method. So his examples that he gave were his company would select an asset from Colonial, then secure the mentor price of the asset with the earnest money deposit of $100. His company would then do the assignment of the contract to the end buyer, Company B, for the unpaid. Then the Company B would then purchase the asset from Colonial for the unpaid balance and associated term. With his company would then get the assignment fee, which is the difference the unpaid balance and mentor price. The transaction would then close using a simultaneous or dual closing similar to that which is done with a partial purchase. And the reasons why they're wanting to do that is to be able to fund their children's CESA education accounts. CESA. By brokering or flipping these types of account, brokering or flipping with these types of account is not allowed. However, the $100 earnest deposit represents an investment and therefore would be allowed, which is widely used in wholesaling homes. So hopefully this type of transaction would perform. As we know, many investors would use this vehicle to fund their children's CESA account, and they might be inclined to include notes as part of their strategy. Thank you.
All right, let me break it down. He's got a CESA account, and he doesn't have enough to secure the whole loan in the CESA account, so he wants to know, could he just buy, you know, put the $100 towards it and fund the rest of the the rest of the note with the investor money.
Hey, Serena.
Hey, Doug.
Sorry about that.
All right, John. Got a little echo there, so I'm going to turn
And, John, you have two different accounts that are open under your name. If you can close out one of them, the one that I just muted is the good one. The other one you need to close. That way we don't have that echo.
I think the one you muted was the one he was talking on.
I did, because that was the echo, and I was letting him know that was the one I muted. The other one needs to be closed out.
Oh, gotcha. Well, he hasn't self-muted. Man.
Well, it's better than an echo.
One day we're going to get this whole talking thing right.
Yeah. We need you to do a series of trainings on
how-tos.
To utilize this.
Well, it's you know, at the same time, it's not just us. If they ever want to do a webinar for their business or something like that, they need to know how to do this. So.
Sorry, is this better?
Just turn your computer speakers down.
This speaker's down.
John, are you using a headset or are you trying to use your speaker on your front, your computer?
John, are you using a headset or are you trying to use your speaker on your front, your computer?
Shit, that's my other computer.
All right. I went ahead and muted him. Zarina, can you talk him through what we're going on? And Mike, John, please send in your questions or responses to the board. We're just having too much back.
Just type them in. So like I was saying, his daughters have some CESA accounts, because I'm kind of familiar with John's situation, and they don't have enough to pay for a whole note in the whole CESA. Right, so he wants to know how can he do some sort of $100 model. Talk with him earlier. He can't broker stuff. So he just wants to know how does it work. Can he do a $100 model in his child's CESA account? You know, get the other investor to fund most of it. He puts $100 towards it. That's really his question.
Sure.
Well, we need it more elaborate than that, Eddie.
Martha's giving me the snake eye over here, so.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Is he wanting to borrow from somebody or just partner with somebody?
He's got a CISA account, and he just wants to, instead of trying to buy the whole note and sell a partial, he wants to option the whole note and then sell it and earn a fee.
An option and earn an option fee, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Now I got the approval. Now my answer is approved.
Same as in real estate. He's correct.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, you can do that.
Hello? Am I back?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Much better.
Much better. I found a headset. So.
Yeah, it won't work without an exterior mic, I can tell you that.
My apologies.
Echo will kill us.
Very, very annoying. So I think I caught the end of the answer there. So basically, what I was trying to do is...
It's identically the same as buying a piece of real estate. You can buy an option for $100. You can sell it to an investor. Once they buy it, they essentially pay you the difference. It can't be a brokerage fee. It's got to be the investment of $100.
That's correct. Okay, so that's perfect. Thank you. And then also, that could apply to the Roth account as well, I believe. But I guess my second question or follow-up question to that would be...
Whoa. Why would you do this with a Roth account?
Because it's after-tax money, which
I got all that. Why wouldn't you just buy the whole note and sell a partial?
Depends on the time frame of the note. If it was like 200 months out, I'm 45. So if it bleeds into when I'm past 59 and a half, I would do that. But if it's before that, maybe it's a shorter term note,
what do you think the odds are if you sold a 200 month partial, it would really go 200 months and wouldn't pay off?
It's going to pay off early. Notes pay off early.
Right. Okay. So you recommend it going into, so then the Roth would even be more of a case for it then.
Why do you always hear me say if you're going to do the $100 model, you always do a what?
Roth.
You always do a Roth.
Thank you very much.
So here's the thing, okay? Your CISA account that you're doing, you're trying to like pump up the money in the account, right?
That's correct. So yes, I'm trying to pay for my children's school.
You're trying to take $100 and turn it into $6,000 so that you can accelerate your kids' CISA account, right?
Right, because everything we spend in the CISA account is tax-free money towards their education.
Right. So in that case, you buy a $100,000 note at 8% interest, and your price on it's $75,000. Okay. So to secure that price, you do a $100 option to buy it. Were you at Summer Summit?
Yes, sir.
You remember my story about the man with the twitch?
check the man on the twitch. I didn't see one in the souvenir shop, though.
No, I'm totally serious. We've had tenants tied up a note. They tried to sell it back to institutional investors that we invited to Note Expo. They tried to sell it to people that didn't even have their self-directed retirement account established yet. They tried to sell it to somebody that wasn't ready to fund emotionally, financially, all the above. That's why I told that story.
Excellent story.
When you tie that deal up, you better make 100% certain you know where that money's coming from to fund your obligation.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It's my responsibility to vet the passive investor, do proof of funds. Before that, we're going to have a nice, deep, hard conversation as to exactly what's going to happen, what they're expecting, how much money they want to borrow, the whole scenario. So then I'll say, okay, that's fine, but I will start looking for that. And then when I find that, I'm going to go put $100 down on this and hold it, and you better be ready or we're going to have another conversation.
Right. You're going to have it truly pre-sold before you try to flip it.
No, absolutely. And this would only be for people who I'm super confident with. I've seen proof of funds. I know we all know exactly what they're looking for, so it's not this, well, you know, they don't get cold feet last second. Because I don't want, last thing I want to do is type a note and then everybody hate me.
Right. And I'm not picking on you, John. It was an opportunity for me to bring this point up. So I was just using your example to exploit it, not using you as an example.
I understand. Thank you.
And but yeah, the $100 deal with the option is exactly right.
So my second question would be, what are the mechanics of that? What does that look like when I call the trade desk and say...
Well, you're going to hire this lawyer. His name is Jeff Watson.
I've heard that name.
We're not a law firm. I have no capacity to bill by the hour and charge legal fees.
No, I just didn't know if there was a certain form that you that Note School was familiar with at the trade desk to say, hey, use this form. It's a lot easier for us. It's
right. Let me give you a resource. You know, when you signed up for the mentor program, that you got the Omega Asset Protection?
Yes.
Okay. That was written by a guy named Jeff Watson. Martha goes in there and digs out forms all the time.
Okay.
So one of the things that we're trying to do is to kind of show you what we do every day, because a lot of times people will go, well, could I do this? And, or, you know, like somebody will say, well, there's probably 20 different ways you can do it. Okay, well, give me the format for all 20 ways. And we're like, go dig around, get some stuff, hire an attorney. If Martha goes and does something weird, that's what she does. Somebody asked a good question. They said, can you have the investors' funds already held in escrow? And the answer is, you could. Yeah, Bob's kind of gotten the railroad tracks run over the top of his feet on the old tying up a note. he ain't in a good mood over that. We've had some students that didn't watch the man on the Twitch.
Yeah, buddy.
He's not as approachable as he was on that subject arena.
I can imagine that.
Well, I'm sure, you know, if you're managing public money like a capital fund and it comes into the month and you tell investors, listen, man, I didn't hit your yield because I got,
yeah,
my students got buffooned.
Yeah. You guys got to take ownership of that kind of stuff. This is your responsibility to make sure that your investor comes through, not ours.
Exactly. Anyway, we're not picking on you, John. We're just having a little fun.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Cool.
Well, thank you very much. That answers my question. And yes, Summer Summit was great. So I appreciate everything you guys did for that. It was awesome.
Good, John. Thank you. Appreciate the question.
All right. Good night.
All right, Mr. Matt.
All right. Last up is your best buddy, Dave Franicky.
Franicky. Like frantic, franicky.
He is kind of frantic.
Yeah, you're.
Hey, we're picking on you, brother.
Yeah, that's good. Hope it's all good.
I was just correcting him because you know how I am about names.
You know, well, I mispronounced Lisa's name for about 8 years.
Yeah.
Quietly told me one day that I was mispronouncing it.
Eddie, you mean frantic-y instead of frantic-y?
Frantic-y.
Uh huh.
That, it's easy to remember. When we know you, it's easy to remember.
I know.
Listen, somebody called me Katarina the other day.
You know that we have to know somebody pretty well to pick on them like this. So,
yeah.
Dave, you're in the family, dude.
I know. It's perfect. So I have two questions, Eddie. And the first one, it may seem to be very basic, but I'm coming across it on a regular basis. When I buy notes from Colonial, there's typically not an insurance certificate. The servicer obviously doesn't either. So is there a protocol or policy to track that down and or to go to the payer to get that? It seems like I'm hitting walls along the way, and I just want to make sure I do the appropriate thing when I'm go that way, you know, forcing the first place insurance on them. What would you suggest?
Well, one of the things that's easy to do is you can have the servicer put force placed on it for 30 days until you figure it out.
Okay.
If the property's insured, then by law they have to refund it. The force placed insurance company has to refund that premium.
Okay. That's easy. Okay. That answers that real quick. Okay. And then on the insurance certificate, Ryan had this on a call before. I frankly don't remember what the phraseology was. When you're added as an additional loss payee or additional insured, what is that correct language?
Isn't it loss payee?
I'm trying to read between the lines here. No, it's simply that you're going to be listed as the loss payee, whether it's a land contract or a note mortgage.
And do we list it as loss payee and or it's assigned so that when you sell it, the new party gets it or not?
Don't worry about that.
Okay. All right.
If for some reason the loss payee, you know, if they cut the check to you, then you could demonstrate you had sold the loan, and it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
I especially wouldn't get caught up in that on partials, because partials are temporary anyway.
Right. So. Okay. The second question I have relates to buying a note with a balloon, and the reason why I'm asking this is you have a friend here at Azrea that has a subgroup, you know the name, and this topic was brought up. There was discussion. I just kept my mouth shut because I didn't agree with what they were saying. So could you walk me through the process of when you're buying a note with a balloon, how that's discounted out? This is just the what-if example. There's no specifics on it. Do you just discount it out as you would count the balloon as part of the discount, or do you work on the balloon differently to arrive at your discount for the total purchase price of the note?
All right. Zarina knows that we've been asked this question several times. Most of the time, Zarina, I'm not real big on just philosophical play what if. I want to calculate the yield just because I just want to do whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not my
thing. It's not a thing.
Well, the deal is, I've been doing this for a long time, and I can tell you that if I go through all this intellectual exercise of useless information, whenever they get to a real deal, they won't remember the answer. So it's just like, it's just useless information, okay? But some people, Dave, have worthless information, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I totally get that. We're on the same page there.
We're talking about a self-proclaimed expert, Zarina, that might not always know what they're talking about.
And there was another self-proclaimed expert there too. So, like I said, I just kind of kept my mouth shut and just.
Oh, I'm sure. It was a room full of ingenious information at that point.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the answer. This is the mindset. I would rather teach you the mindset than any other component. Okay?
Great.
If you are buying a note with a monthly payment that balloons in the future, just think of it in terms of calculating two different cash flows. One of them is the cash flow up to the balloon. What's that worth? And the other one is calculating what the balloon itself is worth. Okay? And you can do all that at one time with an HP 12C calculator, okay?
Right.
Or a 12B or whatever. What do you young pups use, Zarina?
We use your spreadsheet.
Y'all don't use one of these bad boys anymore, do you, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all don't use one of these bad boys.
No, not really.
This is what professional note buyers use.
Professional as in OLD.
I started using one of the bad boys in about 1984.
Yep.
And so I can calculate the payments up to the balloon, and the balloon with that, I can tell you the yield, and I can do all that kind of stuff. The reason that I don't pay a lot of attention to balloons today is because we don't see a lot of balloons. Not saying it's impossible, I'm just saying it's more improbable than it used to be. Balloons used to be extremely common. So, in your math here, I'm going to use my trusty calculator. If my lovely assistant would bring me like a real calculator, I'd probably get more easily. Everybody know my lovely assistant?
I think we do.
Also known as the boss. All right, don't worry about it.
What'd she say?
She said she didn't know she had one. That's shocking. We still walk around, Bob and Susan, Charles and I, Martha, we all walk around with an HP 12C calculator on our desk still today. Here we go. The reason I like the real thing is because the buttons work better than on the other one. All right, so here's what I'm going to put in my calculator, okay? 727.95, I'm going to put that in payment. 35901.82, I'm going to put that in future value. I got 60 payments remaining till the balloon. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what kind of yield do I want to buy it at? 15?
15.
47,636.92.
Okay.
That's how you calculate it. So all I did was I took the monthly payment, I took the term remaining, I put the balloon amount in future value, and I put the 15% yield in interest, 15% divided by 12, and I just hit pre-PV. What's the present value of that cash flow? What did I tell the calculator I wanted it to tell me?
The value at month 60?
I told the calculator, listen to me, this is important. You've got to understand what you're asking the calculator to figure. Okay? I told the calculator that I had 60 months at $727.95 per month. At the end of 60 months, I had a balloon of $35,901.82. On the 60th payment, there's actually two payments, $727.95, $35,901. Okay? I said I want to earn a 15% annualized return on my investment, calculated on a monthly amortization, different than annual amortization, and it told me if I paid $47,636.92 that I was going to earn 15% return until that balloon was paid off in 60 months.
So the total buy price of the whole asset is $47,000, period.
$47,636.92.
Okay. All right.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You cover all that in your pricing thing, Zarina, that you bill?
Yeah, we've got lesson 5 or 6 that covers balloons. So.
Okay. All right. Cool. You're getting pretty close on that, huh?
Yeah, just record. I was up till like 3 in the morning on Sunday recording, so it's almost finished.
3 in the morning?
I put in a lot of work, man.
Zarina, is that up yet? Is that now or will it be?
It'll be out the rest of this week. I'm just recording stuff and finalizing, so that'll be rolling out this week.
Good deal.
We appreciate your effort, sincerely. All right, Matt, what we got in the way of cleaning up some questions here?
Before everybody starts figuring out what they're going to do, I do need to say something before we go any further. We are about to put out the new webinar series, so be mindful that there's a new webinar series coming out.
He means so. Registration for the webinars, right? For July and August?
No. Right? Was that clear?
As it wasn't clear.
So let me explain this to you guys. The most efficient way for us to handle the weekly webinars with you guys is to do a webinar series. There's one for performing, and there's one for non-performing.
Yes.
So there's two a week for performing, there's two a week for non-performing. If you're a diamond or a titanium, you're going to have to register for two different webinar series, okay? But it gives us the most control over registrants and participants in the call. And it's one of the cool things that lets us do what all we do with you guys. So we don't just do an open-ended webinar and you register and then you get a webinar for the next 12 years. So we do it in a 60-day cycle. You have to re-register every 60 days. Okay?
Yep.
And if you're a diamond or a titanium, you have to register twice every 60 days. It takes about between 18 and 22 seconds.
I did it in 17, but yeah, okay.
All right. Well, I just try to make sure nobody thought this was a lot of trouble.
Right.
It is.
Whenever it nears the end of the month, you guys know that a new registration is coming, and we email you and we remind you about it. But it's also up on the website. I think Matt, you put that up like a week early or 2 weeks early sometimes.
Yeah, I usually go about a week and a half yeah. early, which is why we're getting to that point. But I also wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity. If you have yourself, a partner, a spouse. Who has not placed their contact information with us at the office, need to email Riley and say, hey, look, this is my business partner, and they haven't had their contact information placed in the system, because we're going forward, we're going to be pretty strict about allowing duplicate names on the message on the board. So,
all right, so here's how you get to Riley. Just go info@noteschool.com. And the reason we do that, so if Riley's on vacation and there's somebody covering for him, instead of just emailing Riley, and now he's an island of information. That's the same thing we do with content and trade desk and help desk and all that stuff. And we do it so that if, you know, and Zarina will tell you, there's times when Kevin's not available, and she covers some of that. And there's times when Zarina's not available, and Kevin, content seems like it goes to everybody on staff at Note School, and it goes to a lot of people, and so that's an important variable. We really are. You really need to make sure there's one registrant per member of Note School. So if you're a member and you have a guest, and they become a member, family member, business partner, whatever that is, and there's only one person on each webinar per registrant. Because, Zarina, if you're running the boards, you'd just go in there and see any duplicates and just zap them, right?
Yep.
And we're not doing it to be difficult. We're doing it because you guys paid a lot of money. And there has, I know you find this shocking, but we have had people try to steal before. We're respecting that.
They'd have Eddie put them in a headlock.
A lot of money, and this is a private party. It's by invitation only, and one invitation per person.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
What, Zarina, what do you got?
You kind of alluded to it earlier. Martha is talking with Jeff Watson on this partial stuff, so I do have some of your questions that you guys posted up in the forum, so I wrote those down. We're going to cover those. If you have any questions, which obviously you do, make sure that you post them up in the forum. That's kind of where I'm gathering what we're going to cover with Martha. So that's coming down the pike, and then the pricing course, there's 2-3 finalized videos now. So that'll be launching this week. That'll be fun. I'll just sleep less, and I'll get it done. So that'll be coming out. And new registrations, Matt already covered. That's pretty much all I got.
All right, one more thing. Remember last week I told you that we were working with Jillian Sidoti on a JV agreement?
Yes, right.
And so that means that everybody needs to go to the forum.
Yeah.
And type in information. If you're wanting to do a JV, you need to kind of craft out what you have in mind.
Right. Good point. Forgot about that.
And so it's really important. You just need to identify, you know, what your deal looks like. So there's a lot of things that we're tying together with the forum now that ties back in with how we kind of gather information from you. You can imagine if all you do is email content and content goes to 12 people at Note School, it's just brain damage over the top. That's why some of you that send like one too many emails to content get those little... I don't ever send one of those to others, Arena.
No comment.
One too many emails.
Just a few.
One of the things.
Yeah, so the Jillian Sidoti JV agreement is posted up in the Raising Capital because it's talking about joint venture. So, just in case you guys want to know where it was.
So, once again, we're working with an attorney to build a very, very good plug and play document that's very crazy affordable, but we can't start with a blank sheet of paper. So, if this is something that's important to you, you need to go in there and start banging it out. Here's what I want to do with an investor. And define what you want to go do with them.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
What else was I going to say? I had something on the tip of my tongue. It was really good. What was I going to say? Oh. So one of the things, if you guys are somebody that has submitted the content over the last couple of weeks, you've noticed that we've become a lot stricter about how we do it. And I think we're really, really, really going to raise the bar in what we can do with content, but we're going to treat you like college students. So you can't just go send us 12 documents and expect us to weed through it and figure it out what is, you know, have ESP and figure out what's on your mind. If you send us documents, you need to send us the documents, clearly articulate your questions, how they relate to where they are in the document, page 7, paragraph 6, or whatever it is, and then we really, really, really are going to try to raise our bar of what we're able to cover in the content. But it's critical, once again, in order to do that, it's kind of like everybody's got to raise their game. You're raising your game, which has enabled us to raise our game. And we're going to have some really cool, very clear, visual things that we're going to do as a result of it. But once again, you're going to have to, you know, we're going to require you to be more specific in your questions. Now, Zarina, what if I'm shy?
Well, that's where this new liaison role is going to come in, because you can send your stuff in, and the liaison can be your advocate, ask your questions, stuff like that. So you can still send in content.
So you can kind of, and I get that. You know, I mean, there's people that are shy, and they're like, hey, man, I'm just kind of embarrassed to get on there and stuff. And we're like, we're totally cool with that. Now, we're going to make them do their homework.
Right.
Being shy doesn't mean that there's going to be a lack of effort on their part, but it just means that they'd rather not be the person on the deal, or you've got that ugly laptop with no speaker yet, and you're like echoing.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep. At least get some earbuds if you got, you know.
I showed you this thing I bought.
What is that?
That's a remote mic. This is my mic.
Seriously, that's cool.
That's all it is. This is my microphone. It plugs in the side of my computer. Nathan Chung got it for me. You know, Nathan, little techie dude.
Yep.
And if you want to get the details on that, Zarina, you can tell people what it is, and if they want to go buy that, all it does is plug in the side of your computer. You just click a couple of buttons to make sure that the remote mic is working, and that way you can be just like me and you don't have to wear those things like you're having to wear.
Well.
The truth of the matter is, Zarina knows I'm aggravating. Zarina's like radio quality.
Yes.
Mine is like not radio quality, but it doesn't echo, echo. Where'd you get that mic at?
Amazon.
What'd that set you back?
I got it as a birthday present, but it set my mom back $150.
That's very nice.
It is nice.
So anyway, so those are some things that we are in the process of doing, just to give you a heads up. Had three classes in a row. Had Dallas, had a three-day class along with Summer Summit. Then the next week they were in San Fran. And then yesterday they finished up in
Raleigh.
Yeah, Raleigh. And so we are seeing really high quality folks. Joe and I were at National RIA last week. So all the RIA, not all of them, but a lot of the people that run RIAs are a member of National RIA. And so we did that. And I got to do the legislative update with Jeff Watson and the guy that works for National RIA, and talking about the new seller finance protection bill, you know, that.
Nice, yeah.
And Bob and those guys are going to go to Washington, D.C. on this week and go get more sponsors of the bill. And that's pretty cool. Martha and I leave Wednesday morning going to Seattle. So one of the, probably the second largest REIT in the United States. It's called REAPS, Real Estate Investment Association of Puget Sound. And I've spoken
really?
Of it many times. Yep, that's why you see all those great students we got from Seattle. And that's coming up. Several of you have already registered for it. And it'll be we'll have a couple classes in Seattle. Pretty cool. And I already got a little secret, Zarina.
What's that?
Can't tell you. I can just tell you it's going to be good.
Oh.
We're going to win a couple of pretty cool awards. One, like, really cool. You know,
okay.
Nothing. It's secret. More to come soon.
Okay.
That's Twitch story?
What do you say?
Is it another Twitch story?
I said the best Twitch story? Is that the
word? The best Twitch story.
Man, that Twitch story was awesome.
I'll have to watch the video. I missed it.
Huh? Have you seen
it? I'll have to watch the
video. Huh?
I haven't seen the videos yet.
If I were you, I'd go to Chartel's house tonight and watch that video.
I'm not in Orlando anymore. I can't.
Oh, that's right. Orlando. You'd have a little night drive before you got there.
Yeah, it'd probably be till Wednesday before I got there. But
all right, Matt, we got everything covered here.
I believe we have covered everyone that we kind of pushed off. Gonna have some people send some stuff in for Thursday's content that might be some good stuff for Joe to cover. So,
all right. So Perry's asking about selling a note to us.
I didn't know we.
Yeah, I answered him.
Then I go to
pricing.com. Yeah. Oops. Sorry. Pricing at Colonial. See, it's late. Pricing at Colonial.
Okay. I know that you guys are asking about the PowerPoints from Dykes, but Dykes is not a man that I can put the squeeze on, and I don't have him yet. I guarantee he'll do what he said, but I guarantee I'm not going to call him an aggravator. So
right.
I've had about five people on the thing tonight ask me that, so that's the only reason I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get your questions. If you know Dykes, you know that he will do what he said. But I don't have him today. And
stay tuned.
Susan has asked, would you say Zarina enough?
Yeah. Yeah. Just stay tuned, y'all.
He'll get him.
Yeah.
He's an awesome dude. He'll get him to you.
Summer Summit videos are now to Kevin, who's going to be, he actually edits them because we get them just raw. So after Kevin is done editing them, they'll be up on the site and we'll make a big announcement. So no need to worry about that. You guys will know about it.
No, I think I'm going to just text everybody's personal cell phone numbers last month.
Oh, shoot.
Are you going to have them? When are you going to have
them? Yep. Cool.
All right. You guys are awesome. I am, Zarina, I think that the stuff that we are in the process of making some transitions, I think that these are some really some of the best things that we've come up with. Maybe never, but certainly in a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
I should have said never. I should have said ever, but that's
ever. We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff gonna be happening next few weeks. We got me and Matt are doing interviews this week, so that'll be fun. Good. Yeah. Good.
Okay. You guys have a good night. We will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, see ya.